come out. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
Before we get to the biggest post-draft roster holes for all 32 NFL teams, and the Green Bay Packers, spoiler alert, is on the defensive side of the ball, according to ESPN, I want to talk about this situation. So, let me make sure I understand this correctly. Joshy, if you go to a store and you use cash and somebody gives you a boatload of coins back, you are giving them back to the cashier? Am I following this logic correctly?
Yes. Yeah, 100%. I don't want to diminish the value of money.
Okay, but go ahead and diminish it.
I also don't like clutter. I don't like things jingling in my pockets. I don't want to be the guy when you walk by, you hear a cling, 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 cling. Hate it. If I'm given like 54 cents and change, I'm dumping that right back in the leave a penny, take a penny thing and just walking out and going on my merry way. I don't want all that change in my pocket. I don't want it in my car.
You don't want to be responsible for
it. So you have no change in your car, Joshy?
No. There is nowhere in my... What do I need change for?
Because this is what I do, okay? In all the cars.
Let me hear it. Let me hear the science.
No, this is... I have change. So when it gets to be too much, I put it into a Tupperware thing, right? And then I tell the kids, well, I used to. I don't anymore because they're off scholarship. Well, most, none of them are off scholarship, really. But I used to be like, okay, here's the tub of change. The person that is closest to how much is in there gets the cash. So then I bring it to the bank, and the bank has, you know, one of those big coin eaters.
Yes.
And then I would disperse it to whoever was.
Here's the thing also. A lot of banks don't have coin counters anymore. I've encountered this more than one occasion. Even once to the point where I had a bunch of change, brought it in, and they told me, well, you have to count it out yourself using this little tray.
What?
And you have to put them in these sleeves, and then we'll take them and take them from the swear.
That is insane.
Yeah. And since that point, this was probably now almost 10 years ago, I've decided I'm going to mostly ignore change. I don't want it. I don't carry cash all that often, so it seems even more burdensome to have it around. Like, I just don't want it. And especially in the situation this came up because somebody got 99 cents in change, I'd feel disrespected.
Really?
You spent all that time getting all those coins out of there? Just find a penny.
What is all those coins? Quarter, 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 dime, dime. 1, 2, 3, 4 pennies.
Was that 9 coins? Get that out of my life. I don't want to be walking around with 9 coins.
I will tell you this. This is timely because yesterday I told you guys I went on the field trip to the museum with the 4Kers. And there was a fountain. I don't know if you guys have been to the public museum recently. Obviously, they're putting the new one up. Just got a new name and everything. We saw that, the Museum of Wisconsin. But they have a wishing well in the butterfly exhibit. And if all of those kids didn't come up to me asking for coins so they could make a wish in the wishing well, I had pennies and nickels and dimes in the bottom of my purse. So I dug around in there, got a boatload of lint and all the other stuff that collects itself in the bottom of your purse. But I found enough coins for all the little kiddos to be able to do their wishes in the wishing well. That's what coins are good for, wishes.
So your appeal to me to respect change is in the event I take 4K children to a field trip that so happens to have a fountain, I would then find it useful.
I wouldn't say it's an appeal. I'm simply saying that yesterday, less than 24 hours ago, I actually needed coins. I'm not a coin fan. I don't love having coins.
I think
coins.
You're disrespecting the value of money and change more by saying I flip it into the, fountain.
Is there a difference between a wish and a prayer? Prayers are much cheaper.
I think it's who it's directed to.
It seems like a rather deep conversation.
I think it's who it's directed to, right? Prayers go to like saints and gods, and wishes go to fairies and I don't know.
But I bet prayers are way more successful than wishes.
Who can say?
No, I'm saying they are. And prayer and wishes cost your money. It's just cheaper to pray.
Right? Yeah, but if you follow Joshy's logic, those coins don't mean anything anyway.
Also, when so I blow as well candles wish away. And make a wish.
Well, this sounds like that Seinfeld episode now, right? Where they're pulling out their eyelashes to make wishes yes. and they're stealing birthday wishes to make wishes. Drop dead. Drop dead. I wished for you to drop dead. That's what it
the
sounds
stink
like we're
eye.
Doing right now. Listen, generally speaking, Joshy, I'm with you. I am not a coin fan. I find them cumbersome as well. And I don't really have a coin purse. And when I did have a coin purse, oh, by the way, that sucker would weigh like 3 pounds, yeah. right? And the
you guys are wrong. You're so wrong. You're wrong. Uh-huh. Josh, you talk about how you lose $1,000 because the player didn't do what he did. When I bring that coin thing in, it's been in the 300s before. So you're just throwing money away. I mean, it probably takes a year to get to 300, but you know what? That's a nice little payday.
But only if you're using cash regularly, yeah. Chu. I think
I use
the number,
cash all the time.
I know you do, but I think the number of people who are is dwindling.
I would say when I use cash and get change back, it's probably 10 to 12 times a year. Because if I have cash, I'm most often...
So like once a month.
Explicitly spending it on something, and I have near the same amount, and I usually get like whole dollars back. It's very rare that what often happens is, you know, I need $50, but you can only get 60 out. So I have 10 bucks. I go to the gas station, buy something that then requires change, and I'm like, what am I going to do with 18 cents?
Yeah, but what do you do? Like, you guys, cash, you guys are not taking full advantage of cash. Because when I have a service done here, a lot of times they're like, well, if you pay in cash, you only owe me this much.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that happens, you know, where you can yes. get a cash discount. But I would also say that you're not taking advantage of all that credit offers. You know, I get cash back. I pump at Costco with my Costco card, and I'm getting 5% cash back. If I go to, you know, wherever, you're getting cash back on a lot of those purchases.
Really?
Yes. That's the incentive of using your credit card.
You just learn about cash back right here. We first taught you what a debit card
like
was.
Like Jennifer Garner over here, Capital One. What's in your wallet?
What do they give you back? What do they give you back?
Cash.
I don't know.
Paper money, like cash.
No, it's like it's an amount of value you can either put into a checking account if you would like, or you just put it towards your credit card bill.
All
so
right, let me ask you this, because this is like... I always go to Quick Trip. I have a Quick Trip gas card. I'm getting a benefit from that?
Yeah. I mean, I believe literally it's giving you money off. It's like 2 cents a gallon or something.
All right.
We got reaction
what's
rolling
going
in.
On here? How are you using
know.
Card and not knowing what's going on? Angie just hands it to you and says, use this.
Yes, basically.
So
yes.
She knows.
Chewy is like a broken clock that's right twice a day. He is right about coins. That from AC and Tosa. I'm like Chewy. I'm old. We like change. But Josh has coin arrogance.
Yes, definitely has coin arrogance. Make sure we tell Gabe that one.
I'll put it down here. I'll happily admit to coin arrogance. I'm coming out and saying I have coin arrogance. I understand why people need them. I also think getting rid of change is disadvantaged to specific types of people that it wouldn't be nice to do. I personally don't like change. And when
you don't like change, but you get upset when someone gets 99 cents instead of a buck back.
No, he's saying keep your 99 cents or give me the full dollar.
Yes.
Oh.
Is he saying he'd rather have the bill in his wallet mm-hmm. than the change in his pocket?
Okay.
How do you feel about coins? Are you out on coins? This is so interesting to me because Joshy said, don't hand me. He's like, if you're going to hand me coins back at the register, it better be 2 or 3 tops. Don't hand me more than 3 coins. If it's more than 3 coins, go ahead and keep it. Or like you said, round up to the nearest dollar.
100%.
Make it square with the find a penny, take a penny.
I'm even cool with rounding up to 10 cents to 25, 50. Like if it's a nice, easy number. Fine, I'll take so, 3/4. I can live with that.
What's the worst number then? I'm thinking it's got to be like 19 cents. You get a dime, a nickel, and 4 pennies.
Yeah, yes. Like... So it holds the least value, but has the most amount of clinging, clanging in your pockets.
So you just want the penny gone, the nickel gone, Probably even the dime gone.
Just go to quarters?
Yeah.
That's tough, man.
I think rounding to quarters would be great for everything.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind paying an extra 6 cents if it just meant it was rounded.
Isn't it a sales tax thing? Isn't this where we're getting all jammed up? The sales tax is what adds the uneven numbers. Mm-hmm. There are places that actually price their things with their price is a weird number because they know that when they add the sales tax, it'll bring it to an even number, and that's just much easier
to deal
with.
Do that. The price you see...
Of course they do.
Yeah, the price you see on the shelf is the price with the taxes, so there's no... You don't have to do mental math on it. It is $3.19 after taxes, or euros in this situation.
Clint says, Jen, tell those wishers you can wish in one hand and poop in the other. See which hand fills up first. Out on coins and out on wishes over there from Joshy DiMaggio. How do you feel about coins? Let us know. 800-990-3776. And this is because somebody got 99 cents in coins, in change, and threw a fit at the store. And Joshy says, I would have done the exact same thing.
Disrespect.
The disrespect of handing me my change, 99 cents in change. Looking for a home can be a lot of things, stressful, time-consuming, and, of course, expensive. But looking for a home should actually be an exciting chapter in your life. The We Sell Group at Keller Williams knows this. Their passion is people, and they are helping us find a lake house this summer here in Wisconsin. And here's what I've learned in my short time working with the folks over at the We Sell Group. They are knowledgeable. They are approachable. They are available. If you're looking for a lake house, or maybe you're looking for a first-time home, or heck, maybe you are selling your house, Rob and Nick at the We Sell Group are helping every step of the way. The We Sell Group's selling process makes sure that the best and most competitive offers always are made on your home. So get started on a stress-free journey today with the We Sell Group at wesell.kw.com. That's wesell.kw.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The other side of the world, and I'll let you know if I want to come back and coach your little game.
He's Jay Peterman.
Ian Rappaport tweeting yesterday, and I thought this was interesting. The Broncos
Burma?
The last 2 weeks. You guys done?
I got more.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Reaction rolling in fast and furious on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. Ian in the 262 says, if I'm at a restaurant, I will keep the change and leave a dollar. I'm sure it's more convenient for the waitress, and the change goes in my piggy bank. It's nice to get that few $100 back when I cash it in. It feels like free money.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, AC and Tosa says, Josh, if the bill is $10.54, if you give $20.54, you get 10. If you give 20, you get coins back. You have coins to avoid coins. Ooh, now that feels like some sort of strategic
chess
versus checkers type of thing that AC and Tosa is trying to get you to adopt.
In that situation, I am now just permanently carrying and clanging change around in my pockets for the potential that I will have the exact amount in my pocket to then not receive change back. No, just do away with it. Keep your change. Give it to somebody who needs it.
Let's go out to the phone lines, 800-990-3776. Howard in Sherman Park, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Are you pro-change or anti-change?
Well, I'm pro-change. I have a Guinness bank, and when it's full, I turn it into Guinness.
You take it to the bank, you get some cash, then you go buy some beer. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
It feels like free beer, but, you know, the Wauwatosa guy just agreed with my point. If you, the guy's got, or the person, has doesn't want 99 cents, give the clerk a penny and they'll hand you back a dollar. And if you don't have a penny, you deserve 99 cents in change.
All right, fair enough.
I do want to add to that. Howard seemingly agreed with me without doing it by saying, you deserve 99 cents. He views it, even himself as a pro-change guy, as burdensome to receive 99 cents back. I think that makes my point as good as any.
I think it's generational.
Maybe.
Most older people agree with me, younger. Because you guys are path of least resistance, Josh. You're not grinders. I talked about it the other days. We grind. Having change is grinding.
How?
You're just not into grinding. because you got to carry it around. You know, you got to go somewhere. Like I said, you complain about losing $1,000 because someone didn't get a rebound or whatever. But I'm telling you, us old timers.
I'm having a really hard time drawing the connection between losing a bet and me receiving change.
Oh, well, also when you consider the fact that then you won the $1,000 by beating Craig in March Madness. So I feel like that $1,000 you lost from not hitting the parlay, sort of a moot point here.
I also only lost like $6 in that $1,000 bet.
Oh, yeah. You bet $6 right. to win $1,000.
And I was a half of a rebound or point away from $1,000. Right. Yes.
But the fact that you're discarding change means you're losing out on $300, $400, $500.
I think what he's trying to say, Joshy, is the change represents the half rebound, right? Yeah. Like the change is the minuscule, small details that ultimately get you to a full dollar, just like the rebound gets you to the win.
So you're not picking up change if you see it on the ground?
Hell no.
Ew.
Oh my goodness. That's gracious. Disgusting. The only way I'm not picking it up is if it's tails. If it's tails, I will not pick it up.
Okay, so sitting here acting like his logic is off, and then you're going, I am definitely picking up coins on the ground unless, by some chance, one of the two sides is up, and then I am walking away.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
Here's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to task myself with this project. For the rest of the year, the however many months we have, 7 months we have remaining left in the year, I'm going to track how much change I keep or would have kept, because I can't promise you if I get 86 cents that I'm actually going to keep it, but I'm going to keep a running tally, and I guarantee you it's under $50.
So you're not going to drive-thrus and things like that?
Drive-thrus?
Yeah.
Well, even if there is a drive-thru, it's almost always done on the app. That gets you in faster. Like, if you go to McD's, Starbucks, you put a little in there through the
Apple Pay. I have never used the app on the Mickey D's. They always ask me, will you be using the mobile app today? And I'm always like, not today. Not ever.
It's lovely. You place the order ahead of time. You go to their little pickup. They bring it out to you. You don't have to wait in line. That's
What? That's Path of Least Resistance. That's your new nickname. I'm just going to call you Path.
So
when I go to Cousins, I pay in cash.
So to the point you're trying to make is I should go out of my way to be inconvenienced because there's value to it.
Well, because then he'll call you a grinder.
That's called the work incentive. Yes.
No. I'm going to do this the hard way, and then I'm going to tell Chewy about it so that he considers me a grinder. I have a lot of people weighing in on this, guys. I will tell you this also. I used to have a Ziploc baggie of change that, again, I would just, when I got change back, I'd throw it in the Ziploc baggie, and I kept it in the bottom of the Mary Poppins bag. All it took was one time going through TSA and them going, you can't carry a 5-pound bag of change. You could use it as a weapon on the plane. Mm-hmm. Me going, okay. So now I don't do that anymore. Yeah. But that was a
talking to
by TSA.
The world is telling you change is obsolete and it's a waste of time. The banks aren't even taking it. I have to go. If you want to go, I have to go to, what are those things in the grocery store?
I'm glad you brought that up. The Coinstar machine.
Yeah, then they take a cut.
Well, they take a cut. And I've been getting emails for the past year from Coinstar.
Unbelievable.
Somebody hacked my account and says, you know, that they are withdrawing $600 from my account via Coinstar. And I like have to always spam, phishing, spam every time it comes through. So somebody has figured out that that's a way to take advantage of people. Not this gal, though.
Chewy, when was the last time you took your change to be counted?
It's been a little while. Probably 2 years. They got mad at me because I had like buttons in there and like different stuff that jammed the machine up, so they'd have to stop.
See?
You know?
I think I'm coming out looking.
Why were you throwing buttons in the Tupperware, which clearly you had designated for coins?
No, the button fell into my cup holder in the truck, and then I just grab a handful and then throw them in the Tupperware thing, amongst other things. So
you wearing something with buttons?
That's a very good question. I have no idea.
Gabe's wedding?
Could have been.
When was the last time
I do remember this. When I was in college, to take the T, which is what the subway is called in Boston, you know, it was like, I don't know, 95 cents. And if we didn't have the 95 cents in change, we'd grab some buttons and then throw it in the front of the bus thing. And they never caught us.
Unbelievable. All right. I do want to get to this article. I want to get to this article about the biggest needs for each NFL team. Maybe you'll be surprised at what they picked for the Green Bay Packers. That's coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
A freaking catapult attached to his right hip. Like, I just made that up. A catapult.
That was good.
I kind of liked it. I was rolling with it, Rob.
Like a slingshot? Okay.
I'm calling him old catapult leg from here on out.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Discover an unreal treasure this May at Pottawatomie. Don't miss your chance to win a share of the $300,000 prize in cash or prizes. We will give you the rewards card for entries. Prize entries are Thursday. Unreal Treasures is this May at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. Your win is waiting. For more info, just go online to pottawatomie.com. Must be 21 and a rewards member to play. All right, want to get to this list. You know, normally on Thursdays we do a little top 8 at 8 action, but no Gabe today because he is doing the Ringer event where he is playing his 100 holes of golf. So let's go to this list, which is biggest post-draft roster holes for all 32 NFL teams. Chewy, I already told you that it's on the defensive side of the ball. If you had to guess what ESPN.com thinks is the biggest hole for the Green Bay Packers, what is it?
Probably cornerback.
Is not cornerback, according to ESPN.com. Now, I know that you feel, based on the Jair Alexander situation, Nate Hobbs, et cetera, what they have, Keyshawn Nixon at cornerback, they do still need to address it. But they are saying edge rusher. And I will tell you what they say. Rashawn Gary was the only Packers edge rusher with at least 5 sacks last season. Lucas Van Ness, the team's 2023 first-round pick, has been a disappointment. He's penciled in as a starter despite having only 7 sacks in his first 2 seasons. Do you think they have done enough this offseason to address that position?
No. Probably either position. Right? I mean, because we all thought that they would take a corner pretty high in the draft. And there were some available, actually, with their second-round pick, but they didn't address that.
They got Baron Sorrell in the 4th round, the kid out of Texas.
Yeah, I know, but he is a 4th-round pick. So I wouldn't count on him too much. It's just the problem is, I don't expect much out of the D-line. I kind of think it'll be the exact same as last year. That's why your cornerbacks have to be a little stronger. Oof. Right?
That would be really disappointing. But to then, use the like word I that said, they used for Lucas yeah. Van Ness.
Yeah, like I said, that you know, when you don't have a very good defensive line, it puts a ton of pressure on your cornerbacks. Mm-hmm. Now, right now, I think they can survive. But like I said earlier in the show, if they have any type of injuries there where they lose a guy or two, they're in trouble. They're in trouble, you know? So, I mean, and we talked about it a ton before the draft. They had 3 glaring needs. Receiver, D-line, or you know, rush edge guy, and cornerback. So.
What does your gut tell you about Lucas Van Ness? Because I got to say, like, it seems like the reason that the Packers front office feels comfortable standing pat is because they believe he, in particular, is going to make a jump. You don't draft a guy where they drafted him unless you think that he's going to be a productive member of society. Society, I mean your organization. But it might just be true that he is a rotational player at that position.
Yeah.
You know, that he isn't going to be able to get to the quarterback consistently. Would you be okay with that if that's what he ends up being? Or because of where he was drafted, pick number 13, is that right? Oof.
Yeah, oof. That's a swing and a miss. Oof. I see him as a one-trick pony. He's got one move, and that's a bull rush, and it is the easiest move to stop for offensive linemen. There's no wiggle. I think he was clearly a combine guy. I mean, the fact that he didn't even start at Iowa, I mean, should have been a red flag, but these GMs get caught up in this. They get caught up in combine numbers, and they don't draft football players. So it's just athletically, I just think he's stiff, you know? and it's a big concern. But I was, you know, I was going through my head because I think they do it every year, Josh. Don't they? They rank all 32 teams when it comes to each position. So if you do that, and I mean, it's a little depressing because I don't think they're close. I think they are close to being a Super Bowl team, but they're not there yet. If you look at position by position, Jen, when these rankings do come out, quarterback will be in somewhere up to 12. Running back will be top 3. Offensive line will be top 8. Tight ends will be top 10. Your receivers will be in the 20s. Your D-line's going to be in the 20s. Your linebackers will be 12-ish. And your cornerbacks will be in the 20s. That's not a formula to win a Super Bowl. Would you agree with that?
I agree with your assessment. I think the tight ends are going to perform better than you think. I might actually go top 5 for tight ends this year.
Really?
Which, again, you're like, whoa, top 5. But start thinking. We've gone over these lists. Like,
yeah.
Tucker Kraft has a chance to be a top 5. And again, you know, he's not alone. You need Musgrave to hold up his end of the donkey as well. But I could see them, especially with the two tight end set that we are expecting to see from the Packers a little bit more this season, I could see that being a shining bright spot in this offense. Mm-hmm. But I guess I would ask you this, Chu. If Lucas Van Ness was drafted in the 4th round where Sorrell was, would you be okay with the production that you've gotten out of him? Is the disappointment for Lucas Van Ness almost exclusively because of where he was drafted? Or is it, at that position, you can't afford a rotational guy.
No.
You need somebody in there who is consistently on every down, and he is consistently getting pressure on the quarterback.
Based upon what I saw, he may be cuttable. He may be cuttable. See, Lucas Van Ness is saying, from a physical standpoint, he was ready to play as a rookie. You know, his what do they call it? His RAS was probably pretty high. And I've said it before. When I came in, I was not ready to play. You can't play tight end in the Packers offense at 238 pounds. So I was a project. He wasn't a project. He's a project athletically, but I don't know if he has the athletic ability to be athletic.
I don't know if he has the athletic ability to be athletic. You're going to have to walk me through that one, bud.
He's already grown physically. What did they call him? A Hercules when he first came in here?
Yes.
You know? So they had to work on the athletic side of it. Well, he hasn't gone anywhere athletically. He's still a stiff. He's still a bull rush. He has no moves. He got dominated by a tight end. You see what I'm saying?
Are you trying to say he's not
I guess
there,
I'm just like, trying to say he's not an athlete.
It's like he's saying he has beach muscles.
Like, go back to, you know, Aaron Campman, right? Well, you remember Aaron?
Yeah.
Probably a what? Fourth round pick?
I don't remember where Aaron Campman
probably
was drafted.
Probably around there, right? I mean, he wasn't
remember
a first
him being
or a second round pick.
Significant contributor on that defensive line.
Early on in his career, and when they drafted him, I'm like, this guy's an athlete, man. He's an athlete with a bunch of moves, but he's physically not ready to play.
Okay.
Right? I think, like I said about Van Ness, he was physically ready to play. He's just not athletic.
But Campman was a grinder, to use one of your terms.
He was a tryhard, but he was a great tryhard. Relentless.
I think you're using athletic in a weird way, because we've seen his athletic. Like, he chased on Justin Fields. And, like, that's athleticism. He doesn't know technique. He's not a technician. He's just muscles and speed and explosion, and there's no
Yeah, but he may never get there, Josh. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I mean, there were tight ends. I was the 11th tight end drafted in my draft, right? There were two taken in the first round. But they can't process. You can run a 4-4 as a tight end, but if you can't process fast enough, you're worthless. You're worthless because you have to process in a matter of a second and a half. You can't think. It just has to become natural to you. And to me, the way he looks to me is he thinks too much. His brain gets in the way, which is a problem when you play this game because it happens so quickly. You know? And it happens at every position. Like, if you're a receiver and you can't recognize cover two fast enough, average players can cover you. It's just the way it is. If you cannot process, you can't play.
So I have the depth chart in front of me, and I was telling Joshy, it's a little tough to nail down because the Packers don't put the guys on the depth chart until they've signed, and ESPN is just guessing. Joshy said I should go to ourlads.com and go to the depth chart there. He said they project pretty accurately who is going to be where. They've got Rashawn Gary still starting at left defensive end. They've got Lucas Van Ness starting at right defensive end. They've got Kingsley Engabari behind Lucas Van Ness. And they have Baron Sorrell right behind Rashawn Gary at left defensive end, followed by Bretton Cox Jr. And then we talked about Colin Oliver, which was the other kid that they drafted, who we were talking to Jason about several weeks ago. I actually have real high hopes for the Baron Sorrell kid out of Texas. I got real high hopes for him. I read that article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about him where he was struggling in class at Texas and he couldn't make the office hours that the professor had to help improve his grade after he got a bad grade on a first test. So he set up Zoom meetings with the teacher, met with him every week because he wanted to get better. I know that that doesn't always translate to the football field, but I like that sort of work ethic. I like that sort of, what do I need to do to get to where I need to be? That bodes well. That speaks volumes. And I hope it translates athletically as well. You guys know I'm a big fan of Texas, having covered them a lot in college. I hope that he is an impact player. Joshy, would you be surprised if Baron Sorrell is starting on the defensive line by the end of the season? Consistently, not rotationally.
Yeah, I would be surprised. I just think, well, this is multifaceted. There's a lot of guys at the edge. So the idea that they don't, like, that's a hole, I think, is inaccurate. I think the hole is they just don't have the good enough.
They have a lot of bodies.
Right.
But it's like when we were talking about the wide receivers. If you got a bunch of twos, you know, we thought that that might work out for them from a wide receiver standpoint. It's different, obviously.
Like, at some point, players just need to play. And you might not have the best options there, but somebody needs to elevate their play to some degree. I'm more concerned about the defensive tackle. Like, they've got a sixth rounder behind Kenny Clark, really, at that sort of nose-ish position in Warren Brinson. And then it's like Carl Brooks, who we've never seen play consistently, Devontae Wyatt, who we've never seen play consistently. I just view
they're committed to him.
Yes. I just view it as sort of somebody needs to elevate there. I think the depth, you can get rotational and creative enough there. I think Sorrell is going to play both inside at like a five technique-ish and as an edge rusher eventually. I think
the problem,
35% of snaps, 40% of snaps, you'd hope to see him on the field.
The problem is this. If you look at all 31 other teams, newspaper clips, websites, all this stuff, they all have someone they're gushing over. Am I right? If you went to Cincinnati's, they're probably talking about their fourth. This guy could be a difference maker. He could be unbelievable, you know? It's just what everyone does. They gush about these guys. We will not know until he gets onto the field.
Chew, I'd give anything to have a guy who had shown me reason to gush.
Yeah.
I think right now we're just hoping that this position in particular, because we saw how much they underperformed last season, we're hoping that the addition that they have is going to elevate the group as a whole.
Yeah. And you know what? You know what? We're not going to find out in training camp. You're just not. The way they run training camp now, that's why we have the tag all Oneida, you know? And we fell for it last year with the D-line. Oh, you see Rashawn Gary in helmets? No one could block him. Well, it doesn't translate. You know? That's why pump the brakes on the gush, right? I mean, I know we all want this, but we just have to wait, right?
We are waiting. We just got to fill the time between now and then.
No, I know. Because they gushed about these receivers, and these receivers just plateaued. So...
A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune in to Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, or 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. And they'll answer your questions too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You can answer the question.
What's the question?
Can the Packers win without Aaron Jones on Sunday?
Yes. Will you stop? You know what he is?
He's jumping.
He's like the little devil on the shoulder.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we want to make sure that everyone is taking care of their well-being and breaking the stigma, because the world is a better place when you are here and you are healthy and happy. Mental health awareness is growing, but there is still progress to be made. 26% of Americans who participated in a recent survey said that they avoid seeking mental health support because they worry about what other people will think. That is tough. BetterHelp has more than 10 years of experience matching people with the right therapist from their diverse network of more than 30,000 licensed therapists with a wide range of specialties. And guys, you can do it in the privacy of your home. BetterHelp is available online. They will match you with a therapist. That therapist can help you through the things that you are going through, the things that you struggle with, the things that stress you out and make you wonder if it's all worth it, and even things that might not feel that significant. I have been going to therapy for 10 years. It has helped me tremendously. And if I were to use BetterHelp, I know that it would help me through these situations as well. Visit BetterHelp.com/timeout to get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com. That's /timeout, code word timeout. BetterHelp, HELP.com/timeout. If you need help, because the world is a better place when people are healthy and happy and here. Let's check out the polls from today. First thing we asked, are you expected to get your wife, the mother of your children, a gift for Mother's Day? 65% of people, too, are saying yes, of course, while 35 said no, she's not your mother.
Well, you didn't have to put mother of your kids in there. That's a little skewed there, Josh.
I think that's who the person is, right? Like,
What I was trying to say is she might not be your wife, but she's at very least the mother of your children in this situation.
And if you get her that cutting board thing with the quotes.
Yeah, it's already bought. It's already done.
Why would you do that?
Because
you just
everyone
her to break it
loves
over her
cutting
knee?
Boards.
Oh,
everyone
my gosh.
Needs cutting boards.
Horrible. What did it even say on it? I don't even have it pulled up.
Did you see
up
what it cost? Did you see what it cost?
Yes, like $16.
Yeah,
$16.99. Recipe for a special wife.
That's what
my love
the mother
bug?
Of my children should get what from her spouse.
What is a love bug? That's what it says. Know. Never forget that you are my best friend, my soulmate, my love bug, my companion.
I think you're walking a fine line here of that gift so bad it might be worse than not getting a gift. Because
I needed a cutting board.
Why? Then get a nice one.
Yeah.
And just say, this is the cutting board we're using from that.
What is a nice cutting board? It's wood.
There's
a cutting board is a cutting board.
It doesn't have to have all those words
on
it. Yeah,
that corny stuff.
Recipe for a good life or whatever it was. I will tell you this also, guys. This is another life hack. Go into your wife's shower or bathroom or her area and see what she's running out of. Does she have a favorite shampoo and conditioner? You can say, hey, I noticed you were running out of your favorite shampoo, so I picked some up for you. That gesture alone goes such a long way of, I noticed you were running out of your thing. Because I'm going to tell you, she's always noticing when the things are running out.
Question.
But, yeah.
What if the things are well over like 10, 15 things? And multiple of them are about half full. What do
just
I
one
just
thing.
Pick one?
Does she use a face lotion? Does she use a face wash? Does she use a? Is there a lotion that she there, really likes?
Yeah, Jen, but that runs out. The cutting there. Board will never run out. She'll look at it in 5 years and go, "Oh, isn't my husband so
no,
sweet?"
No, you're not no. hearing me. It's the gesture of I noticed you were running low on your favorite blank, so I picked some up for you. That's the gesture. That's the thing.
Yeah, but I can't cancel it now, so she'll have to wait till next year.
I think you can, actually. I think yes, you can
it,
go on there.
For sure, you wouldn't get charged for it.
Yeah, they would. Somehow they'd charge
it. It's about 50-50 on the poll if Jair will be a Packer or won't be a Packer, so that saga continues. I'm sure Wildy and Tausch will do their very best not to talk about it, but we'll end up having to talk about it. They're next on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.